Hello, and you're very welcome to this summer series of Shanks Mayor, where, lucky me, I'll be talking and walking with people all over Ireland and finding out about the wildlife and local history of various places in the country. And for the first programme, I've come up to the gorgeous, majestic county of Donegal, and I'm at West Donegal, to be precise, near a village called Dunlow, which is south of the beautiful coastline that is the Bloody Foreland, and north of Guibara Bay and Ross Beg. And I've come here to find out more about a local history project that's looking at the oral history of Triana Bay. Even the Rocks Have Names is a project started by the local library. And I'm joined by Fiona Sweeney from the local library. Fiona, Even the Rocks Have Names, an unusual name. What exactly is this project?
It is basically a map of Triana Bay here, where even every rock does have a name. Every field practically has a name, every little stream, every little valley, you name it, it almost has a name.
And we're talking about Irish names?
We're talking about the majority of them are Irish names. Like, there's a few that have sort of changed over the years, but most of these names go back for generations.
So these are names, they're rocks that were named generations ago by people who observed the coastline, but also by fishermen and people who looked at the rocks for information as well.
Exactly, yeah. From usage, the farmers, the fishermen would have given names to these rocks. I mean, for example, there's a rock pool called Poladulishk, which is basically a rock pool where they went to get dulse. There's another pool, Polatain. The tain is a shian, which is a small fish. They went there, and when the tide was out, they literally scooped them out.
So they were signifiers and identifiers as well?
Yes. Yeah, correct.
The one I liked was Tubber and Sagart, the priest's well.
Yeah, which apparently was blessed by a priest, and it's supposed to have, if you're blessed by the water, recovery powers, a kind of a holy well.
So the names give such an insight into the kind of usage of these rocks, if that's the right way to put it.
Yeah, indeed.
So Fiona, as we start to walk towards the bay where we'll meet some people involved in this project, tell me a bit about the actual area itself around this part of Donegal.
Well, the place where we're in at the moment, Triana Bay, is a flat inlet, and we're surrounded by hills, covered in mist at the moment, mostly. This is a small farming community, a very rocky coastline. The bay itself would lead on one side out to Mahery, and on the other side over to Dewey and Portnew.
We're looking out at the moment on the bay, and it really does cover a huge expanse. And
it's
a typical scene that you find in Donegal. It's absolutely gorgeous. The place that we're going to is part of a map that was created as part of the project.
It is.
Tell me how the project started.
The first conversation that was had about the project would have happened in a pub.
It's all good conversations.
A lot of these things happen, you know. No, we were just talking about how everywhere, every little field, etc., had a name, and we were saying this is going to be lost unless somebody actually writes it down or records it in some way. John Cullen was taken on a FAS scheme, and he was on that scheme for a year, and he did the actual research. He went out and recorded with the local people. And they were very generous, giving their time and going out along the shoreline and pointing out the different places to them, you know.
I gather there were also people who helped in the wider research, and also someone who helped with drawing the map itself.
Ah, yes. People we're going to meet later on. It was Heidi Nguyen, who is a French artist living here locally in Maremelin. She is designing the map for us at the moment. That's almost complete. And Jim and Nelly Boyle, and they were particularly helpful with this stretch of coastline that we're going towards at the moment.
The project, as you said, came out of a conversation, presumably because people still refer to the rocks themselves their Irish names.
Yes, yeah, correct. The elderly people still refer to them with those names, but very few of the younger people would. And we felt it was important that the younger people knew where they were coming from, you know. I mean, most of these names would actually describe something beautifully. For example, this stretch of commonage here is called Bararoo. And the reason why it's called that is on a really hot summer, the grass actually turns red. and like people still refer to Barrow, but they don't know what it means.
It's incredible that, because it gives so much meaning behind what you see. Instead of calling it a field at this particular GPS location, you know then that something happens to it, or it's got a particular characteristic.
Yeah. I think that's one of the most important things that, people around here still have quite a good connection with the land. But I think it's important to understand, you know, where you come from.
The actual names of the rocks themselves also refer to people and families that would have been associated with them.
Yes, some of them do. There are several tracts of land that would have run in families for generations. And some of those, for example, run right down to the coastline. Each one of those would have, they had ownership, and they were allowed to use that particular stretch for, like, some of them would have been stonemasons, so they would have cut and dressed the stone there. Others would have been taking seaweed for fertilizer, to fertilize the fields, you know.
So Fiona, for people who would like to come up to this area, this part of Ireland, and walk it, and walk it with a map to be able to see the rocks and to see their names, I presume that there will be a map published that people can actually use themselves.
Oh, there will, definitely, yes. We're hoping to have it published by the end of the month. And we're going to have it for sale for a small fee. I mean, we don't want to put anything exorbitant on it, because we want to put it out there and let people see it, and let people see what a rich sort of place name heritage we have. There's a particular rock. In fact, there's three rocks over there now that you can see. It's at low water at the moment. And the old people used to say that if they were going out, for example, to gather seaweed just over the road there, if those three rocks were bare, there was no water around them, then it was safe to take your pony and cart or donkey and cart across that area, because like there's swampy sand out there, and you know, there's one called Carrigarone, which is the rock of the seal, and still to this day there's a seal that comes in the channel and he sits on that particular rock. Now, probably not the same seal that came there 100 years ago, but
Now, that would be a biological phenomenon to have a look at. But that's wonderful, isn't
it? Yes, it is indeed.
There's something so warm about knowing those kind of things,
yes,
because it makes the landscape jump out at you more to know it.
It does, of course. Yeah, I just think it's marvellous, you know. We've been showing the map to some of the younger people around the area, and they're just amazed. You know, as I say, some of them hardly knew what their own town land was called, and now they have a better understanding of where they come from. We're going to meet Nellie Boyle, who was very helpful in giving a lot of the Irish names for the project.
A nice view you have here.
The view is all right.
Yeah. It's all right, is it?
That's more than all right.
No, that's all, isn't it, is a view.
I gather you were involved in this project as well.
Yeah, I was up along with John Cullen when he was marking out the map, and I showed him all the places, the old Irish names, pointed out all the place names along the shore, the old Irish names and all that.
How long have you been living here for?
All my life. Born here. Yeah.
And would that be a long life?
I'm almost 80 years. Yeah, I'm 79 and a half years.
80 years here isn't a bad life to have.
I was away for a while too, in Scotland and England,
You can hear a bit of Scottish accent in you.
Think so?
A little bit.
I was a long time in Scotland, about 12 years.
The names of the rocks here, you, in your childhood, you would have called them the Irish names?
Oh, we always called them the Irish names, Well, look at that big rock down there. That's the Carrigarone, they used to call that. Carrigarone.
The black rock.
Black rock, yeah.
And it is black indeed.
Always black, sure. Yeah. We used to spend a lot of time about the shore. Looking for crewbacks. Crewbacks. Crabs.
Crabs.
Yeah. Plenty of them one time, but no now. They're all gone.
You're getting too old to catch them.
No, they're all caught out the bay. Oh, yeah. Boats out there now, but 200 pots out. There's no one getting into the rocks now at all, hardly. Not one.
What do you think about this project itself?
It was interesting, right enough. Yeah, I think it's a very good project.
It's good to get the things recorded because we'll lose them.
They'll be gone after this generation. Them names will be all gone, yeah. Because the local people are nearly all gone from here. It's all holiday homes now. There are very few people left. And the young people then that were at school and educated, they're all about Dublin or Galway or America. They're all gone.
Well, I suppose a lot of us had to go away to get jobs.
Aye.
Yeah.
If you want to hear herself, was out in Greece for
That's
a
right,
while.
Yeah. Lived out in Greece for 7 years.
Yeah, sure. And you were in Scotland for 12?
I was for 12 years, aye. 12 years working in tunnels and with farmers too, part-time. Oh, we had to go from here. In them days, there was nothing.
Mm.
No, there was big families. There was no money. And I was getting 4 shillings a week on the dole. You wouldn't live long on that.
You would not nowadays, anyway.
Oh, God. And we had to walk twice a week into Dunloe to get the 4 shillings.
It's a long walk from here.
6 miles. Aye. You had to go on a Tuesday and sign on the dole office. And go back in on Thursday and get your money, your 4 shillings. Not much good in this day and age. If you had 2 bottles of stout, it was 9 pence a bottle.
So the 4 shillings wouldn't be long gone?
Oh, it didn't last no time at all. Four shillings.
You went around for this project and pointed out all the different names of all the different rocks on this very long stretch of coastline.
Yeah, I did.
How long did it take you?
Oh, we'd done it in a couple of starts. We didn't do it all in one day. I'm no good walking.
You're not bad.
I'm not so good today, though.
I suppose the good thing about this map is that now it's there. It's there forever.
It's there forever. Yeah, that's a good thing. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because after our day, them old names will be gone.
Did you ever name anything yourself?
No, I did not. No, they were all named before my time. Yeah, yeah.
I suppose these names nearly ran in generations.
Generations, yeah. Sure. Oh, uh-huh. God, yeah. Generations, of course. Most of the fields here, round here too, there was names on them, old Irish names. Yeah. Yeah.
What's your favourite rock?
Rock? Oh, now they're all favourite. Pulgorama, I used to catch a lot of fish there. Yeah.
Where's that?
Up at the pier.
What did you catch?
Oh, pollock and bayan and mackerel, all class of fish. They're all class of fish in this bay. Fishing with the rod, mostly. We used to be out in the boat in odd time, but mostly now by boat the fish.
So you ate it?
We ate all the fish we got, yeah. We salted and used it.
And still would.
No market for it, no market here. We weren't getting enough to sell. No, there were 2 businesses going at the one time. Fishing herring and making poaching.
I suspect the last one is still going.
No, not that we're aware of, anyway.
No, nobody knows anything about it now. No. The distillers are all gone.
Are there any poaching stills nearby?
No, there's one out in the lake up at Bulruri, if you can get it.
It was thrown into the lake, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. The man that was making it, he heard the guards were coming, he went up and he threw it out in the lake.
That'd be an enjoyable swim.
The son came here a good few years ago. He thought he would go up and see if he could get it.
I'd say it's long gone at the
stage.
Oh,
it's long buried in the mud, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we've come down the coast to the west and down to this pier, and nearly there are a huge amount of rocks here.
Yeah.
A lot of them have just been thrown up when there's high tide.
That's what happens, yeah. High tide washes them up, yeah.
You can see them sort of randomly scattered just below the road there.
Oh, yeah, the tide even puts them up on the road sometimes, yeah. And then here at the pier, that was cleared away, you know. There's a very old pier.
Where was it built?
Oh, over 100 years ago, yeah. It was a great bit of work.
The pier was built 100 years ago. What was it built for?
Oh, for fishing, for taking in boats. The time of the herring fishing, they had a station here too for curing herring. Yeah. Tin house, they called it at that time. And then this pier was built about 100 years ago. The men they were working on were paid 2 shillings a day.
To build it?
To build it. And it was all done by hand burrers. 2 men carrying a hand cart. Down here too, that's a new bit to put onto the pier.
Down towards the end?
Aye, down towards the end there. So,
what do you call this pier?
Falcorum Pier. Yeah, that's the name of it.
To the left, you can see the rocks, and they're all very flat.
Flat stones, yeah. Yeah, well, that's what they call them, Pullawalle. Yeah, them flat stones.
So you can see how the tide would come up and wash all the stones over?
Well, the tide goes up to the road, and you get a storm. You get some very big storms here, you know, from the west. See, that's the open bay out there. Yeah. Oh, plenty of animals in this bay.
Plenty of seals?
Seals and porpoises and all kinds. You even get the basking shark here too. Yeah. Over here now, that's Pullacalli way at the back there. Take you up there if you want to go down it.
I'd love to.
You would?
Yes.
All right. Come on. We'll see Pullacalli and the Pulgorum. The Pulgorum was a great hole for fishermen. Yeah. Come on, Fiona. See, will this girl go down Pullacalli?
We'll go this way, it might be a bit drier.
Yeah.
It's a bit mucky underfoot here. Yeah. Follow the pad.
Yeah.
Nice and wet, just in this particular spot. It's drier over here.
How did you actually draw the map in terms of locating all the rocks?
Well, that came down to Heidi, who's an artist here, and she actually took in hand to draw the map.
You drew the map here?
Yes, I did. I did an illustration for the background. I had loads of photographs and had loads of photocopy of survey map.
It is difficult to imagine the shoreline when the shoreline changes so much.
Yeah. It's very hard to see what it looks like, really. Depending on the tide and everything, it looks completely different.
So you worked from an ordnance survey map. How old was that?
I have to check on the map, but I think it's at least 50 years old. And here we are just in the middle of 3 ordnance survey maps. You have to put them together to have the whole bay. So it looks a bit different too, I think. There's bits of rock and collapsed.
One thing you'd really notice, I suppose, from 50 years ago is the amount of houses that have been developed, especially in this part of Donegal, a lot of holiday homes being developed.
Yeah.
And that must be very different from 50 years ago in terms of what you see on the map.
Yeah, yeah, it is. There was very few houses on the ordnance map, but now there's houses everywhere. I just, on the map, we decided to ignore the houses. I just put green where there is green, just to have an idea of the surface, but just leave the houses out. Just put the river, the main road, the lane and the rocks, and just concentrate on the name of the place, really.
So what kind of artwork did you do?
I work on computer, and I did a drawing with all these bits of map. I put some tape and everything to have the whole thing, and I try, because I know the bay too, to put some colour where there is now trees and sand and things that you don't see really, because it did change from the survey map. There's more lane now than it was on the survey map. So the people know about it. I do ask Fiona, I did ask people, this lane, is it really a proper lane or is it what? And I go and have a look, I want to have a look. There's a river who goes into the sea, then he gives the name to a brae, or you give a name to a place just when the river go into the sea. But you can't see it really on the map, because it's just blue for the sea, but it doesn't show you where the water is deeper, you know?
I've seen the map, and it's gorgeous. It's, the colours are nice and natural, and they kind of reflect now what you see when I look along the coastline here. It's a nice sense of what is the reality here.
Because I'm living here. I'm living here, and I'm painting here too. I'm a painter. I used to paint landscapes. That's what I'm doing, really. So maybe that influenced too the way I see the thing. I don't see it just as a map with straight lines and roads and things. I see it really... I paint outside, you know, so I see it.
How long have you been living here for?
7 years now.
And you came from France?
Yes.
And why here? That's a silly question, because you look at it so beautiful, but what brought you to this part of Ireland?
I have no idea. I didn't know it at all. Donegal, I just rented a house because it's very scenic, just there on the beach for 4 weeks for the summer. And I extended the rent of the thing, and I'm still here 7 years after. That's it. It's just a place.
I suppose there is a certain chameleon characteristic of this area, that it does change with the time of the day and the seasons. And that must be very attractive as a painter.
Yeah, it is. It is. The sea and the lights are very changing here. So you just get into it, and it's just really, really beautiful. It's never boring. It's never the same. The landscape is never the same. That's why I'm delighted. There's something where the people, you know, give some information, some sort of history attached to it.
This is as far now as we can get, unless you do a bit of rock climbing.
Oh, that's what you want me to do?
I'm here, yeah.
Solo rock climbing?
Yeah, the cliffs in there, but 300 or 400 feet high.
What we're looking at is an inlet off the coast.
Yeah, Pullacully, they call that. Yeah, but that over there, that's Pullacurry. That's where they used to haul up the curraghs in olden days.
So right across in the inlet, there's a clearing.
See if that clearing is Darlene's on the bottom. Sloped up stones there. They used to pull the curraghs in there and haul them up the dry land. Oh, no curraghs here anymore. Down there is Lick na Cranna. That's where you get the cranna. Plenty of cranna down there in the month of June and July.
At the moment?
Oh, aye. Yeah, lots. And out here is a place they call the Gub. Great place for fishing by you. And farther over then again, that's Tullibrisha. The cliff is all the time falling down. Call it Tullibrisha, broken rock. Yeah.
And it's amazing because when I came here and you look over, you just see what's gorgeous and rugged and a beautiful coastline. But once you start telling me about the different parts of the coastline,
yeah,
I can then see things in a different way.
In a different way, you would do, yeah. Yeah. All along there then, the spots then for fishing. And if you didn't know the spots, you wouldn't get no fish.
Yeah.
You need to know the right place to go to. Yeah. Yeah, and this hole too is a great place for fishing lobsters. And about the month of July, they start fishing the lobsters here. Yeah.
The sea is so black in this area at the moment, isn't it? It's a very
that's
black colour.
Yeah, there's a small boat out there making up the bay. Can you see it?
I can indeed, and some cormorants, I think. Are there three cormorants?
Oh, there's plenty of them around here. Yeah. These rocks over here are full of cormorants and wild ducks.
And in the distance, I can see an island would be, I don't know, say 10 miles out, is it?
10 miles, they say, from the mainland out there.
That was a good guess. What's the name of that island?
That's Roarnish. They call it Roarnish.
And does anyone live on there?
Nobody at all, no. They put sheep on it in the summertime sometimes, some of the island men. There was a man, he lived here in olden days when he was a young man, before he went away to America. He could swim away out there to Roarnish, providing there was a boat along with him. Yeah. No bother to him. Yeah. No, he was a good swimmer.
It's an impressive feat.
Yeah. There was three men fishing off the rocks down here one time, and he went down below them. They were from outside the town land, and he went down under the water, and he swam up to where they were, and he came up like that. Three men went off, and didn't know what to do. They thought it was a wild animal that was coming up out of the sea. Oh, he was some man. He went to America then after that. Yeah.
And in front of us, a very, very tempting rock pool to go looking in.
Oh, down there, yeah. Oh, there's nothing there now. Well, they had names on that place there. Scrabban, they called it. Whatever that means in English, I don't know. Scrabban, yeah.
So it's rough ground.
Rough ground, yeah. Rough ground, yeah.
Do you want to go for a swim?
Haven't been swimming in years, no. No. She's on rock way over yonder that's out in the tide. The wave's coming over it now.
Yes, yeah.
That's a rock they call Carrick na Grubach. You always got a lot of Grubachs around there.
So much of it is about fishing?
Mostly all about fishing, yeah, yeah. 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 See, that's the Atlantic, the open Atlantic out there now. Yeah. The waves are washing up to the land. Different place altogether. Yeah.